glad to see everyone back this evening for our service. Assignment, the song, The Great Tradition. And in singing the song, you have an idea concerning maybe what was going through the writer's head as he penned this song. The song was, in Matthew 9 and verse 12, there Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." And so the song is, when you study it, it's really a little bit unusual. It was written by William Hunter. He lived May 26, 1811. Till October 18th, 1877. The refrain was written by Richard Campenfeld, and he lived in October 1718 to 1782. And the arrangement and the music was by John H. Stockton, and he lived from 1813 to 1877. The song itself was written in 1859, and the arrangement and the music in 1869, so it was 10 years later when the music was written for this song. The Great Physician is a song that identifies Jesus as a spiritual physician who came to heal mankind from sin. And one of the references indicated that this was one of the most famous hymns in Nigeria. I thought that was kind of interesting. And that only God knows what went on in the mind and the life of William Hunter when he penned the lyrics to this song. The wordings of this song are powerful and still carries the healing power of Jesus. Another reference says that in the mid-19th century, there was a serious railway accident. Many were killed and many more might have died, except for the timely efforts of four or five doctors who had been on the train. Their intervention was the inspiration, they say, for this song. Another interesting thing about William Hunter, he wrote more than 125 hymns. The only one still in use is this one, The Great Physician. I thought that was kind of unusual. This song originally was entitled Christ the Physician, and originally the hymn had seven verses. Hymn books today commonly use verse 1, 2, 3, and 6, or 1, 2, 3, and 7. Our book uses 1, 3, 6, and 7, so it's kind of unusual. Before we continue, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. You know, one of the things that, since we've started this study, seem to be more focused when we get ready to sing a song. And the first question I ask is this a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song? And on some of them, I guess it could be maybe even part of two of those categories. It's pretty hard on some of the songs to determine, which the category they actually fall under. So I'm going to ask you a question as we get started. What is this song? Is this a psalm, a hymn, or is this a spiritual song? You know, physicians are mentioned several times in the scriptures. And that's what I'd like to start out by determining this word physician. How it's used in the Old Testament, how it's used in the New Testament. And then we'll actually go through each of the verses that we find in our book, and we will determine some of the meaning of the song. So, in the Hebrew word rendered physician in the Old Testament, it's also translated many times with words such as heal or cure. Notice in Exodus 15 and verse 26, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the disease on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. That word heal there is the same word in the Hebrew as the word physician is. Leviticus 14, verse 3 and 4. There it says, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. Again, that word healed is that same Hebrew word. Sometimes the reference is to physical healing. For example, in King Asa is criticized for going to doctors and not seeking the Lord's help when he developed a severe disease in his feet. We find this in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12 and verse 13. There it says, and in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. You know, there's a point here concerning medicine and doctors and physicians, even of today. Even as we seek a doctor and take medicines for some of the things that we suffer from, the very first thing we should do is go to the Lord. In other times, the word physician is used when dealing with spiritual need, the effects of sin, or emotional distress that required healing. When Job was with his friends and they provided no encouragement or comfort for him in his misery, instead they falsely accused him of wickedness, Job called them forgers of lies and worthless physicians. In the New Testament, the Apostle Luke was a medical doctor and the writer of the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul refers to Luke as the beloved physician in Colossians 4 and verse 14. The hymn is speaking of Christ, but I want you to notice the uses of the word physician in the Gospels. I have three examples. Mark and Luke record an event of one who was healed by the Lord Jesus when no doctors could help her. Notice that Mark is a little more critical of the doctors in that day than Luke. The verses of Luke 8, verse 43 and verse 44, and in Mark 5, verse 25 and verse 26. Notice the reference in Mark chapter 5. There it says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better. And Mark adds this, but rather grew worse. So in referring to physicians, Mark here was just a little more critical of the doctors than actually Luke was as you read those verses. Second example we find in Luke 4, verse 22 through verse 27. And Jesus read the scriptures and commented in the synagogues at Nazareth where he had been brought up. That's in verse 22 of Luke chapter 4. But then he outraged his audience. Jesus said, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in your country. That's in verse 23. In verses 24 through verse 27, he reminded them how Israel had not been receptive to God's prophets. And the third example we find in Mark 2 and verse 13. There, when Jesus was criticized by the Pharisees for eating with tax collectors and sinners, he responded in Mark 2 and verse 17, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You can also read of that in Mark 9, verse 12 through 13, and also Luke 5, verse 31 through verse 32. Nowhere is Christ described as the great physician. But William Hunter's phrase has become legendary, and it's still used a century and a half later after the psalm first appeared. The psalm offers praise to Christ as our spiritual physician, and it encourages sinners to come to him for healing. Now, if you would like to open your book to page 109 in your psalm book, the first stanza, we are told that the great physician speaks to cheer us. There, the verse says, the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Jesus can sympathize with all of our infirmities because he was tempted in all points, just as we are. We read this in Hebrews 4, verse 14 through verse 16. There it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. This sympathy was shown in many of his miracles, and as he was about to heal the paralytic, he spoke to cheer his drooping heart. Notice in Matthew 9 and verse 2, it says, then, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. We too can be healed if we will hear the voice of Jesus. In Matthew 13, verse 14 and 15, it says, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. In stanza 2, there we are told that the great physician is our Savior. It says, all glory to the dying Lamb. I now believe in Jesus. I love the blessed Savior's name. I love the name of Jesus. This is our Savior because he is the Lamb of God who shed his blood for our salvation. In John 1 and verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In 1 Peter 1, 18 through verse 20, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. But in order to have the salvation he offers, we first must believe in him. In John 8 and verse 24, it says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. In Acts 16, verse 30 and verse 31, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And those who do receive this salvation will love his name because the very name of Jesus indicates that he came to save us. Matthew 1 and verse 21, and she will bring forth a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In stanza 3, we are told that the great physician dispels our guilt and our fear. It says his name dispels our guilt and fear. No other name but Jesus. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the charming name of Jesus. Again, Jesus removes all of our spiritual diseases, including our guilt and fear. And he does this through the gospel which he has revealed. In Matthew 4 and verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. We must remember that salvation is found in no other name except in the name of Jesus. We read in Acts 4 and verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Those whose guilt and fear have been dispelled by him should be so thankful that their souls would delight to hear the charming name of Jesus and make sure that everything they do is in his name. We are told in Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In stanza 4, we are told that the great physician will take us to that bright world above. There it says, and when to that bright world above we rise to see our Jesus, we'll sing around the throne of love his name, the name of Jesus. It is the desire of Jesus to provide sinful men with an eternal home in that bright world above. In Matthew 8 and verse 11, Jesus said, and I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus will come again that we might rise with him in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. After that, he will take us to stand before his throne, where we will join with the redeemed of all ages to sing eternal praises to him. In Revelation 5, verse 8 through verse 12, it says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. In closing, the chorus continues to praise the name of Jesus as the healer of man's spiritual problems. It says, sweetest note and seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. The three stanzas that are not included in our book are as follows. Your many sins are all forgiven. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Go on your way to peace, to heaven, and wear a crown with Jesus. The children too, both great and small, who love the name of Jesus, may now accept the gracious call to work and live with Jesus. Come, brethren, help me sing his praise. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Oh, sisters, all your voices raise. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I tell you, if I was selecting the verses, I'd have a hard time leaving these verses out. Christ always hears our pleas. We are his workmanship, and he has a plan for each of our lives. His plan that we may be here to encourage someone who is down and out, or maybe to give the gospel to someone that is searching for the truth. Or it may be that he will choose to walk with you, comfort you, and care for you in your physical need. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But there is one condition that he will always heal if you ask him to, and that is the disease of sin. He is the dying and the risen Lamb who provides redemption for all who call upon his name. And that spiritual healing, forgiveness, and new life which he gives should make us want to sing and praise his holy name. Jesus, blessed Jesus.